Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. With the dust of the wilderness temptation still clinging unto Jesus' feet, he returns to Galilee. Going to the region of Nazareth and Capernaum, the ancient lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that the words of Isaiah 9 are coming true in the mission, the ministry of Jesus Christ, the light of God is coming to the world and begins to shine in darkness. Jesus begins his ministry with preaching. He takes up where the last Old Testament prophet John the Baptist leaves off. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, usually we think of repentance as a general confession of our own sinfulness, where we confess our overall guilt and surrender our lives unto the Lord Jesus, as the Baptist might say. But Jesus' preaching of repentance here is deeper than that. He means not just a confession of sins and a turning away from sinfulness. He is calling for a full conversion. 180% turn, calling for us to change all of our heart from lostness and unbelief to salvation and faith. Stop doubting, he calls. Stop being lost. Stop wandering off. Stop being separated from the kingdom. Because this promise is for you. You are the people of God. You are in that reign, and the king is at hand. I also suspect when we talk about kingdom, generally you're probably thinking about kingdom as a noun. You're thinking of it like the United Kingdom of Great Britain or like the fictional Kingdom of Narnia. Instead of thinking about the kingdom as a noun, as a locatedness on a map, try thinking of the kingdom as a verb, as the reigning of Christ, that God is now reigning as king. Because God is acting. God is doing. God is breaking into history, and the reign of God is at hand. With the mission and the ministry of Jesus Christ, with his preaching that has begun, with his miracles that have begun, with the restoration of creation which has begun, the kingdom work in, with, and under Christ is breaking into humanity in order to be seen. What John the Baptist had been preaching and foretelling in Jesus has now come and continues to come. As Jesus begins his preaching and his teaching and his ministry, he also begins to assemble those who will help in that reigning work. Matthew notes that while Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. He called unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I'm sure he probably used some similar words in the calling of James and John, "Follow me." These four men respond immediately, leaving their nets, leaving their careers, leaving their vocations, leaving their parents. In James and John's case, they quit their job working for dad and left him in the boat with the work still to be done and just walked off to follow Jesus. And I urge you not to overthink this too much. It's okay to be curious, I guess, but we need to stay away from questions like, how could they have just left everything? Or why did they pick up and just follow Jesus? Instead, understand that Jesus' calling to come and follow is just as powerful as his preaching. No one becomes a follower of Jesus by themselves. In the calling, they are also infused with the Holy Spirit that gives them the power to respond to this call. The response empowered by the Holy Spirit, a call to repentance, a proclamation of the realm, the turning away from disbelief, the beginning of being reigned by Christ. And they get up and they obediently follow. But their calling, by the way, is completely and totally unique to yours. These first four will become a small cadre of men that will be later identified as Jesus' disciples, and they will follow. They're going to go everywhere with him over the next 3 years. They're going to follow him from Capernaum to Israel, to Judea, to Sidon, to Tyre, to Caesarea Philippi. Literally, they're going to cross the entire Holy Land back and forth, meeting tens of thousands of people on the way. Later, Jesus will send them out to mission to start the church. They will continue the preaching of the reigning of God. What began with the baptizer is continued through in Jesus' ministry, and then he hands it over to these disciples to be distributed throughout the world. And that's what they do. From generation to generation, God continues to call pastors and missionaries to send that reigning work out into the world. But the rub for us comes in this lesson is when we compare our lives to their lives. I think a lot of times the hardest thing about being a modern-day disciple of Jesus is that it tends to be a little boring. Not really all that flashy. I mean, even our general day-to-day work in our own lives, as we enter into 2026, you think, what is 2026 going to bring us? Chances are, it's going to look a lot like 2025. And it's probably also going to look a lot like 2027. We're going to come to the house of the Lord on a weekly basis. We're going to hear his word read to us and preached to us. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. We're going to spend a little time in Bible class together. It's going to be blessed. It's going to be a wonderful, a 2.5 to maybe a 3-hour respite from life where God reigns us personally. And then we'll get to the benediction. And we'll speak the benediction over you, and you'll leave here, and you'll go out to your regularly scheduled lives. We'll walk out of this holy place, and some of you, if you're lucky, will get to go out to eat lunch. Maybe something else. We'll start gearing up for life. My wife, right now, is across the street at the grocery store. That is her thing. She comes to church, then she goes to Bible class, and then she goes and buys the groceries and hopes that somebody comes home quickly so that she doesn't have to unload them. You two will go home and do something. Maybe start a little laundry, watch some sports ball. A lot of pastors take naps. I try not to take naps, because if I take a nap on Sunday afternoon, then I won't be able to sleep on Sunday night, and I like going to sleep on Sunday night. It's one of my favorite hobbies. But you're going to start gearing up to re-enter that rat race. Come Monday morning, the alarm goes off, and you're up and at 'em, getting the kids out of bed and off to school and carpools and work and get there on time, work there all day, come home, make dinner, battle the kids, get them bathed, get them into bed, because it is not their favorite pastime is to go to bed. If you're lucky, at the end of the night, you get to split a bottle of wine with your spouse before you call it a day. In between, you got doctor's appointments, meetings, ball games. You got to drop the car off at the mechanic and pick it up and pick up clothes cleaners and pay your bills and call your mom, because she worries. And in the middle of all of this ordinariness, sometimes we feel like we'd like to have a little bit more excitement. That maybe Jesus could walk by us at work and go, "You don't have to work anymore. Come on, let's go. Let's have an adventure. Woohoo!" And Jesus does do that. It's just not always in the way that we expect it. He begins with a message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And you don't have to experience that kingdom because you're already in it. It's already enveloped you. You've already been invited. We've turned from our unbelief. We've turned away from our lostness. We rejoice in each day as a gift being given to us as children of the Heavenly Father, having already been normed by the Holy Spirit. You see, you have an even more and certain word than did Andrew or Peter and James and John. I mean, I don't want to shortchange them. They were called by the Holy Spirit and empowered by that in order to follow Jesus. But we have the entire story laid out in front of us. We have every word of the Old Testament and the New Testament given unto us and put in words that we can understand and read and hold on to. And we might have 8, 9 copies. I think I'm up to like 45 copies of the Bible. Quit buying me Bibles. I have one. I promise. We have the promise and the fulfillment of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Right? We have the very words of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the entire apostolic witness that points you to Jesus and calls you to follow as you continue to follow. And you're as close to that invitation every day. When you make the sign of the cross above you and you say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those words that were spoken to you over your baptism, in which you were inducted in the great hall of fame, which is the kingdom of God, in calling you to repentance and the forgiving of your sins, we come to him both as he is host and sacrifice in this holy meal, where it's bread and wine, become the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith, in water and bread and wine and parchment and pages and ordinary preaching and teaching and ordinary gatherings amongst ordinary men and women of the world. So yes, your calling is going to look very much different than Andrew, Peter, James, and John. The most obvious of the fact is that you're not been called to leave everything. Their calling is fishers of men who follow Jesus, take them to Capernaum, to Israel, to Judea, eventually under the foot of the cross where they'll see Jesus crucified and died, which will leave most of them terrified, running for their lives and hiding, thinking that they might be next. It'll take Jesus' resurrection Easter appearance to bring them back. It'll take Jesus' ascension into heaven, his empowering them with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost to send them out in the world. And this time, they've not been sent out into the world alone. They're not going out there as mere disciples. They are the sent ones of God, apostles appointed and picked out by the Lord God Almighty to tell the world the King is here. The king has arrived. The reign has already begun. Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. On the other hand, you got you. You old normal people in your regular old vocations who bloom in the place where God has planted you to serve your neighbor. In the multiplicity of our vocations, some of them even overlap. Most of us have got children and are children, getting grandchildren, employer and employees. Most of us are not going to become professional pastors or go overseas to do missions. Most of us are just going to live an ordinary disciple's life. And that's just fine. Even true of pastors, we have the tendency to think, well, all I'm doing is just leading this little church. That's what you've been called to do. Do it with joy. You see, when it comes to the Lord, ordinary doesn't mean less than. God relishes in the ordinary. He uses ordinary Mary and Joseph to become the parents of Jesus. Uses ordinary human flesh, which Jesus then assumes into his divine being, becoming both God and man. He uses ordinary cross to save the world from their sins. And he calls you to an ordinary faithfulness. Not just here on Sunday morning, but everywhere. Everywhere you go, you are always a baptized child of God. You are always in a state of following. You are always in a state of being ruled in the kingdom of God. You're always in a place of service. When you change your baby's diaper, service unto the kingdom of God. I know it may not be flattering work, it may not be exciting work, but it's important. Right? When you submit your quarterly reports to your boss, it may not be flashy, it may not be exciting, but it is discipleship in the kingdom of God. When you finish your English essay, work of God, well done, good and faithful servant. If you ever figure out calculus, good job. Also discipleship in the kingdom of God. In all of these moments, the reign of Christ is coming to fruition. And the kingdom is still breaking into the world. As Jesus calls you to be ordinary disciples, through ordinary vocations of ordinary people. And perhaps in those areas of vocation, you have an opportunity to be the fisher of men. To speak boldly and clearly about the Lord God Almighty who loves you, who has sent his Son to die for your sins, who empowers you through love and service to community and neighbor. Or maybe not. Perhaps your greatest witness will just be those words of gentle service in a regular day as we live lives of disciples of Jesus, celebrating the ordinariness of your calling to be a disciple through love and mercy. Knowing that through these ordinary days, Jesus is still reigning. Through you, he comes as light into darkened world, salt preserving humanity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.